Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Maybe the budget is saying, you know what, how about pre-owned inventory? They got a great selection of that with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Atlanta Braves on top of the baseball world.
There they go. Pitch on the way. He attacks and smokes one to deep left. This one's going supersonic. That is out of the ballpark. Whoa! Over the train tracks, it's 3-0 Atlanta. 0-2 on the way. Chopper out to Dansby. Dansby throws to first base. Is this happening? It is. The Atlanta Braves are world champions.
Yep, 88 wins during the regular season, and to go to the last week of the season to clinch the division did. Once they got into the playoffs dynamic, the home run call was of Jorge Soler, who ended up being the MVP of the World Series. Picked him up from Kansas City. He was hitting under 200 at the time. And when they looked at the video of him, Walt Weiss went over to Brian Snicker and said, I think we got a little bit more than we thought we were going to get here. Well, he was the MVP with three home runs, and all three home runs hit by Soler put the Braves in front. First championship for them since 95. Very pleased to be joined by one of the best in the business, Heather Dinich. Heather, welcome back. It's so great to hear you again.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. How are things going up there?
Yeah, so far, so good. Hanging in there. Okay, hanging in there. All right, so the first playoff snapshot is out. What were your thoughts as to how it played out for the first one?
Well, the first three didn't surprise me. I thought Cincinnati was going to sneak in at number four because of their win against Notre Dame. But, you know, I also understand that the selection committee has a very high bar for strength of schedule. And in their eyes, the Bearcats didn't pass it, and they didn't pass the eye test each of the past 2 weeks in road wins against Navy and Tulane. So there were a lot of factors that went into that. I'm a little bit surprised that Oregon came in at number four, but I did expect them to honor that head-to-head win over the Buckeyes.
And they did. And not only did they win it head-to-head, but they did it without Thibodeau in the lineup, which was probably a factor as well into the thought process of that. What was your thought on that?
For sure, and it wasn't just that game without Thibodeau. I mean, Oregon has been decimated by injuries this year, and they continue to find ways to win. You know, I mean, and I understand maybe people on the East Coast haven't been paying close attention to them. You see the score against Cal, you see close game against UCLA. I was at that game, but you know, in the loss to Stanford, their offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead, he wasn't there, calling plays for health reasons. But those are things that the committee knows they pay attention to. I mean, when I was at the UCLA game, their starting center, Alex Forsythe, missed that game. He was warming up. He was supposed to go in, but it was the fourth game he missed with back spasms. So all of these little things are part of the discussion in that committee meeting room. And along with strength of schedule and all those pieces of the puzzle, you can't just look at one team and evaluate it and plop it in the lineup. It has to be done in consideration with all those other teams around it.
So let me ask about Alabama for a moment. Now, look, do I think Alabama's very good? Of course I do. But their primary wins to this point are Mississippi and Mississippi State. Their loss is at Texas A&M, who, by the way, was also like Tulane against Cincinnati, using their backup quarterback. Is there – we're supposed to look at 2021 Alabama – but is the brand name sometimes getting them ranked higher than maybe at the moment? I'm not saying at the end, but at the moment, they should be ranked.
Well, Maybe subconsciously it is. You know, I can't get into the minds of all 13 of those selection committee members to answer that question, but I can tell you that clearly the eye test mattered. And yes, you're right. And that, look, I've watched Alabama all season long, and there's games that they've struggled in as well and haven't looked great, and questions on defense, et cetera. But since that loss to Texas A&M, they've outscored their opponents 101-33, and they're in the top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency right now. And so when you put that all together, that's part of the committee's reasoning for having them up there. But that being said, because they're right there at number two, I think it also leaves the door cracked open just a little bit that if they lose a close game to Georgia and there's some chaos elsewhere, I wouldn't entirely rule out the possibility of a two-loss Bama getting into this thing, depending on what happens everywhere else.
Right, exactly. I think that door is open if they get to that point. I think you're exactly right. Have you watched Georgia in person? And if you have, what really jumped out at you?
I have not seen Georgia in person yet this year. I don't know if I will until the national championship.
Well, there's nobody left to watch. There's nobody left to watch except the SEC championship game. Charleston Southern may be out. Tennessee. I mean, really.
So Georgia, to me, is the most complete team in the country, and I think that sort of mirrors what we were talking about with Alabama on offense and defense statistically, but they're so good that it doesn't even matter who their starting quarterback is. You know, Daniels or Bennett in the lineup, they're finding ways to win, and they're looking good in the process, but man, their defense is NFL. It's an NFL defense. It's unbelievable what it's doing at historic levels for those guys. And we're talking about a two-loss Alabama. I wouldn't pick them to beat Georgia right now. I wouldn't. And I think that in my projections for the midseason, I had Georgia and Ohio State playing for the national title.
Obviously, I just saw Ohio State in person. Have you seen them yet in person?
I saw them at the Oregon game, which is a totally different Ohio State than the one that you saw, right?
Well, but it's also a different Oregon team because Verdrell played in that game and had over 200, played great, but he's out for the year now.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. But, you know, here's the thing. I had Ohio State in my top four last week, but I dropped them after the Penn State game because in my eyes I was watching them. I'm like, okay, man, they are unstoppable against these unranked opponents and looking so good, much better than I saw them play against Oregon. And then they play Penn State. They need those four field goals. They need that defensive touchdown. And I thought, okay, they're matched up against more even competition now. They look a little bit more like they did when I saw them at Oregon. And so I went back to thinking, okay, I'm going to honor this head-to-head. So that's why in my rankings going into this week, I had Oregon over Ohio State. But I had Cincinnati at four.
Cincinnati doesn't have, in my opinion, any more chances to improve its lot in life. All right? There's no signature win left on there.
No.
I almost feel like they need everybody else. The attrition is their best friend.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. And it certainly didn't help that SMU and Houston weren't ranked by the committee this week. But not only do they not have those opportunities ahead of them, teams behind them do. So when you look at Michigan, you look at Oklahoma, those two teams, which are sitting right behind the Bearcats, have more opportunities down the stretch that could propel them ahead of Cincinnati as well.
Now, here's what they do have going for them. Certain things will null themselves out. Ohio State has to play Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Michigan still has to play Ohio State. They do have some people that have to play each other that will knock somebody back. Mm-hmm. I think that the attrition is their best friend.
it is. And, you know, like, it's hard. It's easy to jump to conclusions right now, but this is the first of six rankings. I mean, things are going to change, and they should change. They should, based on results week to week. That's what's so different about the AP poll and this poll that people have a hard time wrapping their head around, is that it should be fluid. Eventually, it sort of settles itself out as the teams play each other more. But it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Ohio State ultimately dumped Oregon. I mean, I think they could both finish in the top four if they finish as one-loss conference champs. But no other Pac-12 team is ranked. And you look at the Buckeyes with those chances you mentioned against Michigan State and Michigan. That's better than anything the Ducks have on their resume. So we've seen head-to-head matter and then not. And I think this could be one of those cases.
Yeah, that's why I always refer to these as the weekly snapshot. Then the next one comes out next week. They're all snapshots because the playoff doesn't begin next week. So I have to ask you about the meetings taking place. I think it's in Dallas about playoff expansion. The Sports Business Journal is reporting that the Alliance Group, Big Ten, ACC, Pac-12, I won't get into my opinion of the Alliance. We'll just leave that out for the moment. Okay. Is favoring an 18 playoff, which if that's the case, number one, Notre Dame won't vote for it. And number two, you don't get any money from it because ESPN already has all those bowl games locked up until 25.
So I'm standing in the hallway here at where these meetings are, and all the commissioners just went behind a giant closed door. And tonight after dinner here is when they'll get into that playoff discussion. Look, when you're talking about 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swoop, it's much easier to convince two or three people to change their minds than it is the other nine people, right? So everyone also has to remember that it takes one person. And at the end of the day, we're talking about their university presidents and chancellors who have the power to change this thing. It takes one president to say, I don't agree with this, and it doesn't happen. So I'll be surprised if they come out of these meetings tonight, tomorrow, in agreement on something, but I'm here just in case they do.
Right, so let me bring this up. Every athletic department in Power 5 last year, and this is not, I mean, I'm making an assumption, but I think it's a very strong assumption. Every athletic department, when fiscal year numbers come out from last year, will have lost eight figures apiece. Doesn't money eventually come into this to get people to say yes, because the only way to do it is to close the gap financially?
Well, if they don't do this, it is a fact that they will leave a lot of money on the table. Buku bucks, right? The question is why? You know, what is it that they so firmly believe in that is worth not going after that $200 million or $400 million, whatever it is? Does it close the gap because of the deficits that happened during the pandemic? It can. But it can go well beyond that as well.
Oh, boy. Are you surprised? Because it seemed something that looked really good in the spring. I know Oklahoma and Texas came into this. I got that. But are you surprised that we're at this point now and they didn't lock it up?
I am. I thought by September they had that meeting in Chicago. I was there for it. I booked a flight well before the meeting, thinking that something was actually going to happen, and it didn't. And yes, the events of this summer played a significant role in that. So does the fact that there are three new commissioners, fairly new. I mean, George Kliavkoff of the Pac-12, obviously, Jim Phillips in his first year at the ACC, Kevin Warren took over 2019. Last year was his real first year, so he took over like January, February 2019. So three new faces in Power 5 positions, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. And so that all plays in a role with different personalities as well.
Good point. Okay, so do you feel like giving a best guess? Do they eventually get to 12 in this? Not today or tomorrow, but do they eventually get to that or not?
Yeah, I think they do. I think everybody knows the way this story ends. That's why I think, you know, a lot of people are kind of surprised and frustrated it's taken so long to get there. Jax Warwick, Notre Dame's athletic director, told me on the record about a month ago, and I printed this, that the playoff is going to expand to 12 teams eventually. How and when is anybody's guess. I don't know if all 11 people share that opinion, but clearly they don't. Otherwise, this thing would be done by now. But there have people gone on the record and said that's where it's headed. So it seems like it's just a matter of time.
Well, four of them do.
So, yeah.
We know four do. We can name them.
Yeah.
Craig Thompson, Bob Bowlesby, yeah. Sankey, and Swarbrick. They seem to agree on it.
That's right. They created it. They're the ones who spent a year and a half putting this thing together. I think they're going through the motions and hearing everybody out. But, you know, it seems like they've got to bring everybody else along at their own pace. And you know, to be fair, those four people had a year and a half to digest this.
That's right.
When this came out in the summer, this is in the laps of people for the first time, right? So, there is truth, and you've got to go back to your leagues and say, what do you guys think about this? Right. You got to ask your coaches, your ADs, your presidents, and that's what the summer was supposed to be for, and it was. But at the same time, you got the OU, Texas, SEC, and then all of the expansion dominoes that followed, and here we are.
Well, I'll let you go back to work. You do great work, and, you know, it's something we talk about journalism all the time. You are a true journalist. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That means more than you'll ever know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather. And it's a fact. You are.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Boy, that's, you know, it's people that work hard to get stories to take us inside what's going on. She does that. Phenomenal work. All right. I just got a note from Matt. If you could ask her a couple of Eagles questions. I feel like I'm back to the days with the suit.
That's a typo. It should have been Notre Dame, but actually we got some of that info. So
yeah, we got a little Notre Dame in
we
there.
We did, yeah.
Got a little Notre Dame in there.
And I can't say, not thrilled about that.
No, but you know what? But I'll say this, Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, look, the bottom line is that you need to... We are at a point where leadership stands out. And I give Jack Swarbrick credit. I think Jack Swarbrick is a leader. I think he stands out. I think Greg Sankey stands out. And Swarbrick does. I mean, I think he's done a good job. He's done a good job with not only what Notre Dame is doing, but he's done a good job with this playoff work. And I think he has shown leadership. And, I mean, should leadership stand out that dramatically? Probably not. But right now we're in an era where actually good leadership does stand out. Just check out our staff meetings. All right, back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Mm-hmm. figure if I took my time there to give you a chance to cool off.
Well, I'm good now.
You sure? Because there are more games coming up.
There'll be times where it'll ramp back up or go back down. We'll be all right.
Yeah. Let's go. So already we're previewing tomorrow. All right. So let's get to what Heather and I just talked about. I deliberately asked her those questions because, A, I knew she was there, and, B, because I knew I was going to talk about this topic in the last half hour. Everyone knows how strongly I feel about expansion to 12. In fact, before this proposal was revealed in the spring, last December, I talked about a 12-team proposal on this show. So how strongly do I feel about 12? I talked about it months before it was even revealed they were doing it, because I just think it's best for the game. It's best for the game in a number of areas. Number one, getting the product all over the country and having every part of the country represented. Number two, opening up more possibilities for upsets. Well, the biggest upset in your current format is Ohio State beating Alabama in 2014. That's your biggest upset? You're like, this format has a problem to it. Next up, college football is more popular than ever. College football really ranks behind only maybe the NFL in popularity. Football is football. You look at the regular season ratings of college football and the regular season ratings of the NBA, that tells you a lot. The other day on Saturday, Michigan State drew over 9 million viewers. Penn State, Ohio State, and the nightcap drew almost 8 million viewers. Two Big Ten games drew nearly 17 million viewers between the two. That tells you about the popularity of the game. Limiting to 4 and moving parts around New Year's Day and Saturdays and things like that tells you they've got problems with the format. We all know what the issues are with it. Number one, the door is open to maybe somebody playing a 17th game. It's a lot of games. It's a lot of physicality. I understand that. But nobody ever complains about the number of games that are played in the Pennsylvania High School playoff. Okay, the teams that get the Hershey normally are playing 16 games. You ever hear anybody complain about it? Now, my complaint's always been there are too many games in the district playoff. You take 4 and go, no matter what. That's me. But, like, for example, we have this week, which division is it? The AA has quarterfinals. That extends the down. That extends the season. But that's just on a local level. But I never hear anybody complain about teams in Hershey playing 16 games. Do you? I don't. But when it comes to this, oh, there might be 17. It's, oh, man, I'm like, you know what? If you pull a team aside and you're telling them they're going to play a 17th game for the national championship, okay, they're fighting each other for seats on the plane. But I do understand the concern of length. I got it. I also understand the concern of making sure you're not bumping into finals weeks at schools. That should be something that's on the table for everybody to look at right now. Okay, we went through all 130 schools, or 131, 132, whatever the number is. Here's how the finals weeks line up. Can we pick times where it's the best schedule time for everybody? You won't be able to fit everybody perfectly, but you might be able to do in such a way where, oh, okay, they're done early, 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 early. There are more teams that are done early than we realize. Plus, let's be honest about it. Okay, now let's go into the dirty little secret of academia. The vast majority of academia have their finals the last week of class. Whoops. Sorry, didn't mean to reveal that. Doesn't mean there aren't finals during finals week. There are. but the vast majority of academia has their final in the last week of school. It's part of being in the, in, you know, again, because I cross over into both, even though I'm an adjunct, I'm not a, you know, calling me a professor is an insult to professors. But I'm in it, so I know. Okay? I know. And if I'm sitting at the table, I bring it up. Because I know. Doesn't mean everybody does. There are some professors that have finals the week of finals week. But the vast majority take care of it the last week of class. Which, by the way, I've always approved of. That's not a knock. Not in the least. It is not a knock in the least. I completely get it. You put in weeks and weeks and weeks. Why extend it one more? Okay? I got it. Hey, do you think I have a final in finals week? Come on, Matt. Do you think I do?
No.
No, we do a final project, and the final project is due. I mean, if somebody wants to turn it in finals week, they can. I mean, I'm not going to cut off somebody's nose to spite their face. But I tell them that it's due in the last class with the idea that they can then relax finals week. That's why I do it. Well, what I do is not uncommon. So it's not as much of an argument as people realize. But then it's an answer I can provide because I cross over into the world of both that maybe people would not expect. How about that? So those are concerns, those two right there. Everything else, expanding the playoff, getting more teams involved. We talk about the relevance of the regular season. Well, believe me, when you get to the month of November, okay, there's some big games coming up because of the way the schedule plays out, but there are going to be a lot of teams that are, quote, out of it, and their games are not going to have national relevance. By expanding to 12 with six open spots, plus teams fighting to win the conference because they get a bye, it would make November even more relevant than it is now. So that crushes that argument. And then there's the money component. If you stay at 8, ESPN already has contracts with the New Year's Six bowl games. So not a single dime would be increased by going to 8. So why the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big Ten, the Alliance? I said, what are we doing here? Oklahoma and Texas are going to the SEC. Let's panic and overreact. Really, great leadership. We'll use you in the leadership conference to explain what you don't do. It's not leadership. The Big Ten's the one that bothers me the most. They've got strength across the board. It's strength across the board. They don't need any alliance. The idea is like, okay, your responsibility is to your universities, your university presidents, and your schools. How can I get the most bang for the buck for my, okay? And the alliance isn't it. Supporting an 18 playoff isn't it. The only way you're going to get more money is to go to 12, because now ESPN is forced to either pony up more because it goes beyond the scope of what they have, or you get another TV partner to supplement, and now you get even more money. That's why you can get another $400 to $600 million out of it per year by getting another TV partner. College football is the only entity in major sports that only has one TV partner for its playoff. So let's think about it. NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Turner, CBS. NFL, obviously everybody. Okay, when it comes to the playoff, ESPN, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox. Major League Baseball, Turner, Fox. And wildcard games carried by ESPN. Three. NBA, TNT, ESPN, ABC. NHL, TNT, ESPN, ABC. College football, only ESPN. Even the PGA Tour gets to the playoff. CBS has a tournament, NBC has a tournament. They've got multiple just for their playoff. It's only three tournaments. College football is the only one with one. Everybody else has multiple. That's how you drive up the number. So there's a lot of things that go into this. And if Sports Business Journal is correct, now there's also a contradictory report that says the Pac-12 now is actually in favor of 12. There's a contradictory report. I can't remember who reported it. My apology to the individual that reported that. All right. Because that's good reporting. But if the alliance is in favor, I don't get it. Well, Dabo Swinney's against it. Goody for you. Dabo just wants to play fewer games.
Yeah, so I was just about to say, of course he's against it.
Yeah, he just wants to play fewer games to get there. I mean, that's the reason why. Now, you have to listen to all opinions. He's an influential voice out there. You have to listen to all opinions, but sorry, that doesn't fly with me. You're not going to get rid of the... I'll tell you, the part that you probably can get rid of, but they're not going to, will be the conference championship games. Now, why aren't you going to get rid of the conference championship games? I mean, the Big Ten gets $25 million for playing the game. What, are you going to dump that? Really? It's almost $2 million a school. That buys a lot of tennis balls and soccer balls. Okay? And that, you know, that's... And the money component is... We just came off the pandemic. We are about to celebrate 50 years of Title IX. Title IX is great because it gives girls and women awesome opportunities in sports. That's a reality, correct? Is that a reality?
Yep.
Okay, now let's go with the other reality. Guess what the other reality is? It's expensive. You have to pay for it. How do you do it? Well, you can only do it with groups that can get you money. Football, men's basketball. Well, you can't do much with men's basketball because that NCAA tournament contract, which increases every year, by the way, is locked into 2032, 2033, some number like that. So the only one available to get more money is college football. I mean, like, difference-making money. So you got to be realistic about it. I know they say they can get way more money for the NCAA women's basketball tournament. I'll be honest with you. I know people that are in the business, and it's a really great product, but the money is not what the survey says it's going to be, based on what I understand from people in the industry. First of all, there are not a lot of people going to bid for it. from what I understand. And number two, it's not going to bring in the money they thought it was going to be. It's always been the problem with the tournament, with the women's tournament. When they went to do this the last time, they thought for sure CBS was going to jump in and double it up with the men's tournament and the whole thing. And CBS looked at me and said, we're not going to do that. So the only way to get any significant bump in cash is, it's not from the men's tournament. That's already locked in for the last, for the next 10 to 12 years. All right? Now you get increases, but it's, the money's locked in. It's the college football playoffs. It's the only way to do it. And you're coming off a year where everybody lost a ton of money. Eight figures each. When the fiscal numbers come out early next year for the fiscal year that ended June 30th, 2021, it'll be eye-opening. Now, to the credit of many athletic directors, they did a phenomenal job of keeping the losses to as much of a minimum as possible, but there are still losses. All right, back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
This is the first ranking. It's not the last one. There's a lot of games to be played. We got a lot of work to still continue to do. I think there's still a lot of opportunities. So I think the great thing that they will do in college football, and I think they have done, and I think they get it from the basketball side of things, is let's really try to hone in on these last 5 weeks and say, as that stretch goes, who's playing the best football? We need to find the four teams that we believe are playing the best football in the last three, four, or 5 weeks of the season.
Great sentiment, except you don't penalize teams when they play Charleston Southern. Right? Alabama, not the next to last week, the third to last week, is playing somebody off the radar. Now, Georgia's playing Charleston Southern. I don't expect them to be penalized because, let's face it, they haven't lost and they don't give up any points. But if you're going to say, we're going to hone in on the last 5 weeks, well, during that 5 weeks, let me just see here. Where's the Alabama schedule? Alabama's got a game in here where you sit back and go, really? They always do. I want to say it's New Mexico State. I think. Yes, I got it right. New Mexico State. So, while the committee's honing in on those last five games, how much are they going to hone in on the New Mexico State-Alabama game? Again, when they're ranking, to me, you get dropped the second you make a mockery of the system. That makes a mockery of the system. Now, again, it's a snapshot. So when they play Arkansas the next week, I can bump them back up if I want. But I'd send a message. Every single time they play a game like that, when we're ranking, you go down.